Okay, Alexander, we really need to get into this Fox and Friends interview with President Trump and Brian Kilmeade's questioning of Trump, where they brought up the issue of Assad and an alleged confession from Trump that he wanted to, or that he want, that he called for the assassination of Assad, and allegedly Mattis talked him out of it. I say allegedly because I think there's a lot that we have to unpack here. And let's see how well we unpack it. Let me read you first. Let me read you three, four headlines just to give you a glance as to how the media is looking at this. And I'm actually going to read you headlines from conservative, libertarian, anti-war sites. And as you can imagine, the headlines from the radical left and the Voxes and the Politicos and the Hills and all of that are going to be much, much worse, I'm sure. But this is how the conservative right libertarian press, I would categorize it, is picking up this story. And let's go with the headline from Zero Hedge. Trump confesses he wanted to assassinate Syria's Assad, but Mattis stopped him. That's from Zero Hedge. From RT, Trump says he wanted to assassinate Assad, blames ex-defense chief Mattis for staying his hand. Go to Breitbart. Donald Trump, I would have rather taken out Bashar al-Assad. And from antiwar.com, Trump says he wanted to take out Assad. Now, first, Alexander, I'm going to actually read. You actually sat down and wrote out the transcript of the Brian Kilmeade part with Trump. And so I'm going to read you to that probably in the next segment. But I want your first comments as to how you saw this statement from Trump, and then I'll actually read you the transcript, and you can unpack it, because I don't think I need to remind everybody. I think your legal mind will be able to unpack this and break this down in a manner that I think when you just watch the interview very quickly or just go over it, you just kind of say, "Oh my God. You know, Trump was calling to assassinate Assad," and that's that. And then the headlines start running wild. So first, give me your overall impression as to the titles I read to you and your overall impression to this story.
Well, I think we've got to always be very careful when the media reports Trump's words because they are very, very often distorted. And I think one of the other things to understand about Donald Trump is that he tends to talk very freely and using perhaps a less disciplined or careful language than some world leaders do, and certainly than his predecessor Barack Obama did, who practically never said anything actually in interviews. I mean, his interviews were a nightmare. You had to sort of pass them incredibly well. I've watched the video. I don't think it's a confession. I don't think that is what Donald Trump said he was going to do. I think the way they're reading it or representing it, which is based on Bob Woodward, an earlier Bob Woodward book, which is that Trump actually had a plan and intention to go and assassinate Bashar al-Assad. I don't think that is what Trump was admitting to at all. I think people are misunderstanding a much earlier, a different event, which we know about already, which is that after the Han Shaehun alleged chemical attack, Donald Trump wanted to launch a much more powerful missile strike on Syria. And Mattis, who was the US Defense Secretary, who was worried about getting into a confrontation with the Russians, watered it down. I think that when he was talking about taking out Assad, I think that is what Donald Trump was referring to. I don't think he was talking about an assassination of Assad. I think that is a misrepresentation of his words, which far too many people have fallen for. That's my view anyway. So, Alex, perhaps you can take us through the transcript, but I will say this. I'm going to say this, by the way, if this was before a court, I think that there would be a very powerful defense argument that that was not a confession.
Okay, let me read you the transcript now. And this was about an hour-long telephone interview. So Trump phoned in, and this he started talking. The subject of Assad came up around the 30-minute mark, give or take a minute. And they were talking about all kinds of other stuff, Biden, the debates, the CV, all kinds of issues they were talking about, the weather conditions that are now about to hit the U.S. And then as they were talking about Joe Rogan and Social Security, Trump was talking about how the media was lying about Social Security and that he was going to take Social Security away. And then Trump kind of pivoted. They asked him a question previously about the Joe Rogan debates. Then Trump pivoted and said, yeah, I would absolutely do a debate with Joe Rogan. And then there was kind of like a jump cut. And right away, Brian Kilmeade comes in and he starts a completely different out of the blue line of questioning. Of course, referencing the Woodward book, which they had talked about earlier in the interview. He references the Woodward book in a different direction. Now, my opinion on Brian Kilmeade, I've been following him for a while now. He is a very, very dedicated neocon. I mean, he just is. And he's had an axe to grind with Assad in Syria. I don't know why, but I mean, Syria has been in his crosshairs for years now. He has been wanting to take out Assad and to go to war with Syria for a while now. I don't know what it is with Syria and Brian Kilmeade, but whenever the subject comes up, the guy just, you know, goes off the handle. Anyway, here's what Brian Kilmeade said. And once again, I wrote out this transcript because I couldn't find the full transcript. All we found, Alexander, were bits and pieces of what Trump had said.
Which is indicative of itself, by the way. People don't want you to read the whole thing. By the way, before you continue, I'm going to just add one point about other discussions we've had on the Duran about previous Trump confessions, statements, whatever. We've always passed them carefully. We've always said that he's been misrepresented. Subsequently, it's turned out that we were right. So please, our viewers, listen very attentively.
Yeah, we also have to qualify the fact that when it comes to Syria, we have been very outspoken about the conflict in Syria. And what they've done to Syria. And you know, I think everyone who's been following this channel knows our position on Syria, knows our position on the chemical weapons and the chemical weapons hoax and everything they've done to Syria. We've been very supportive of ending the conflict in Syria. So
absolutely. I mean,
you can just go into our library and see our stance on Syria. So this is what Brian Kilmeade said, and I quote, "Let's go back to the military for a second. General Mattis evidently has been critical of you in as a leader in Bob Woodward's book, which you said was boring. But is it true you've taken strong actions against Baghdadi, against Soleimani? Is it true that after Assad gassed children for the second time, that it was you that wanted to take out Assad, that you had a good sight on him, and it was General Mattis who talked you out of it? And if it is true, do you regret not taking him out, being he is a mass murderer?" That is what Brian Kilmeade said. This is Trump's response. "I would have rather taken him out. I had him all set. Mattis didn't want to do it. Mattis was a highly overrated general, and I let him go. He worked for Obama. He got fired by Obama also. I thought maybe that was just a fluke. Maybe they had different views. Maybe he wanted the job very badly. I gave him the job, and I didn't like him, and I fired him. And he was terrible. To me, he was a terrible general and a bad leader, and he wasn't doing the job with ISIS. He was not doing the job in Syria or Iraq with respect to ISIS. I got rid of ISIS after he was gone. I did a great job on ISIS. 100% of the caliphate, got rid of them, took out Soleimani, as you know, took out al-Baghdadi. These are the two biggest terrorists. Al-Baghdadi founded ISIS. He was trying to build it again after I wiped it out. And I said, we have to fire him. He killed many, many people. And Soleimani likewise. Soleimani was the biggest of them all." Then Brian Kilmeade steps in. He almost interrupts Trump in his train of thought and says, "So do you regret not taking out Assad? And was it because of Russia being allied with him? If why, you didn't do it. And do you regret not doing it? Then Trump said, "No, I don't regret that. I could have lived either way with that. I considered him certainly not a good person, but I had a shot to take him out if I wanted, and Mattis was against it." And then Brian Kilmeade, I mean, Trump went off for a little bit more. Brian Kilmeade interjected and defended Mattis, said Mattis is a great American who served his country, said that, you know, "Mr. President, you didn't gel well with Mattis, but he's a great American." And then Trump said, "I don't say he's a good American or a bad American. I just say he didn't do a good job." Now, let me just say two quick things, Alexander. The media said that Trump said he wanted to take out Assad. Trump never mentioned the word Assad. No. He always said him or he.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I noticed. And the second thing, which is interesting, is how Kilmeade tries to bring it full circle back to Russia. Was it because of their alliance with Russia? He says, so Alexander, that is exactly what Brian Kilmeade said. That is exactly the response that Trump gave him.
Yes. Now, I mean, again, you asked me to sort of give a legal take on this. I think the first point to make about all those exchanges, and I think this is something that our viewers need to notice, is that what Trump is being asked are what lawyers call leading questions. They are not open questions. They are not questions that are really, you know, come up for answers. They are steering the person who they're being asked of into certain directions. Now, I come back to what I said. If you look at Trump's words, his first answer, very, very carefully, it's absolutely clear what he's talking about. It's a well-known incident. It's been reported before. I don't think he understood that he was being asked about, you know, assassinating Assad. And by the way, I should add something else, that there are one of the things that's very confusing about this, and which this interviewer obscures, is that there are two Woodward books. There's one that was published in 2018, and then there's the recent one. The 2018 book is the one about the assassination attempt on Assad, which people are now conjuring up about. The 2020 book is the one that has identified the plotting, exposed the plotting that we discussed in a recent video between Mattis and Coates, which I'm sure it's the 2020 book that is in Donald Trump's mind, because, of course, he would have been incredibly shocking to him to learn that his defense secretary was talking to his chief of intelligence about getting rid of him. I mean, that must have been a profound shock for him. But this interviewer, notice, he doesn't explain to Trump, which he should have done, that there are two completely different books. He doesn't tell Trump, well, in this earlier book, Woodward says that you wanted to kill Assad, but that Mattis restrained you, and that you had previously denied the story. Instead, we have this interviewer asking leading questions, which are clearly intended to construct some kind of statement from Trump, which can be passed off as a confession of an attempt to assassinate Assad. Now, I have no doubt, if you look at the first answer that Trump is giving, that he is talking about two different things. Firstly, he is talking about the incident that I mentioned at the start of our video, the one in which Trump, in anger at an alleged chemical weapon attack, supposedly stirred up by members of his entourage, wanted to launch a massive all-out strike on Syria and was restrained by Mattis from doing that. Mattis, by the way, definitely did not want that to happen because he didn't want to collide with the Russians. I mean, this has been widely reported. It was reported at the time. There's no question about this. There's no debate. I am quite sure that is the incident that in the first answer, Donald Trump is returning to. He then discusses certain events in the Middle East which are connected with terrorism. Note, it's specifically terrorism, and always notice that with Donald Trump, ultimately, it is the war against Islamist terrorism that is for him the priority in the Middle East. He's far less interested in Syria. He doesn't like chemical weapons and things of that kind, but it is the war against Islamist terrorists, against Al-Qaeda and ISIS that is his priority. And what he is discussing there is the fact that Mattis, this general, his own defense secretary, who he's now discovered, was actually plotting against him. The point he is making is that Mattis was not fighting the war against terrorism vigorously enough. So Trump then brings up the various people who the US eliminated, al-Baghdadi, Soleimani, various, you know, the al-Qaeda thing, the ISIS caliphate, all of that. And then it's this very neocon interviewer who's, I think, clearly, again, trying to maneuver Trump into some kind of confession. He then brings the topic back to Assad, asking a second leading question, which appears to link some of the things that Trump says about Soleimani and al-Baghdadi and the war against terrorism with Assad. And you're right, quite right to point out that Trump doesn't actually mention Assad by name. What, again, I stress this, what he is referring to, I've no doubt about this, is that well-known incident, that well-publicized incident, which in which, as I said, Trump wanted to launch a far bigger missile strike on Syria, and Mattis, who had cold feet about getting into conflict with the Russians, basically countermanded. I'm going to add, by the way, something about that, because I just want to just clarify what happened with that particular incident, because it's another example of Mattis being insubordinate. And I say that even though actually I actually agreed with Mattis on this one. Trump apparently gave orders for a big strike on Syria. Mattis went away and told the people in the Pentagon, right, that's what Trump wants, but we're actually going to do something far less. So he didn't discuss it with Trump. He just went ahead and gave orders for a strike that was on a far smaller scale than the one that Trump had ordered. And that, I think, is some, that's by the way, confirmed. As I said, it's not disputed. It's understandable that Trump might have been seething about it, and that it might be, you know, come back into his mind after the events, after the disclosures of the second Woodward book about Mattis's plotting against him. But I have no doubt that this is the incident that Trump is talking about. Now, can I just also say, this is disgraceful journalism. I'm sorry to put it like this. Asking leading questions is not what an interviewer should be trying to do. It is terribly manipulative, but it's become par for the course in American journalism now. Now, whether this journalist, who is a fervid neocon and wants conflict in Syria and all that, whether his issue is with Assad or whether he was trying to trip Trump himself, I'm not so sure. But whichever it was, this is manipulative and deceitful interview.
Yeah, I think it may be a combination of both, maybe even a third, that Brian Kilmeade was actually also trying to rehabilitate Mattis a little bit.
Well, clearly he was.
Over the last week, you know, the hits between Trump and Mattis have been pretty, the blow-by-blows have been pretty devastating. But Mattis was right in his response to Syria. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. He made the right decision.
Well, he made some of the right decisions. Well, I mean, can I just point out one thing Trump wanted to do was withdraw troops from Syria. And Matt was one of the people who was opposing this. So carry on, Alex.
I'm trying to think what Mattis's purpose was in the Trump White House, why he was given the job or why he was, say, placed in that position by the powers that be. And I think, you know, listening to you, Mattis's job was not to go into full-scale, all-out conflict with, say, another great military power, but to keep the proxy wars and the troops and all of that stuff just churning along. So I think He didn't want the full-scale conflict, so he pushed back on it. Good for him. But on the flip side, when he heard that, you know, Trump wanted to get the troops out of not only Syria, but Iraq and Afghanistan, that's when he started to take pause and said, okay, so Mattis might have thought, okay, look, Trump has to go. As he said, as according to Woodward, he said Trump is unfit. He said he wants to pull all the troops out. We can't have that. But on the flip side, he also was led by his emotion because it was Ivanka Trump. From what we understand, we don't have full confirmation. It was Ivanka Trump showing the pictures of the chemical weapons strike, the hoax that was created, the false flag. That got Trump all unnerved. So maybe Madison is thinking was, you know, I'm here to perform a certain task. Keep the U.S. in the Middle East, but don't, you know, start a huge, massive war. I don't know. Do you understand how I'm trying to read Madison's mind?
I understand you completely. I think you are completely right. And it shows why Donald Trump, whose background is as a businessman, must have got completely exasperated with him. Because what Mattis is doing is he is keeping the United States in a state of permanent war in various conflicts, but he's not prepared to take any step to win those conflicts. He's taken
the goal.
And I know, exactly. So, I mean, he keeps the US there in military, the military committed in Afghanistan, in Syria, in Iraq, whatever. He stops every attempt by Donald Trump to pull those troops out. But when Trump comes along and says to him, well, you know, let's do something decisive, Mattis says no. So it's this bizarre situation. By the way, we discussed this in an article, you know, an early article after way back in the first year, in which we said that, you know, Mattis was behaving in a very odd way, both aggressive and pusillanimous at one and the same time, because he wanted to continue wars. He didn't want to retreat from them or withdraw from them or give up on them, whilst at the same time never taking any step that might conceivably bring them to some kind of victorious conclusion. What kind of a general is that? Trump must have been saying to himself. I mean, you know, war without end, to no end, to no purpose, because you don't want me to take decisive action here. You don't want me to take decisive action there. Perhaps he's right not to. But in that case, if Mattis doesn't want to realizes that these wars can't be won by decisive action, then what is he as a military leader doing, keeping those American troops there? It doesn't make any kind of sense. It doesn't make any sense from a business point of view. I mean, Donald Trump would say to himself, and, you know, this is he's a humane man, actually, but, you know, this is a business proposition. This is wasting costs. You're just throwing good money after bad in what is clearly a failed investment. And in this particular case, you're killing young Americans too. But, you know, from a military leadership point of view, it doesn't make any kind of sense either. It bogs the United States in perpetual wars, which it cannot win, but is afraid to pull out of. I mean, it makes no sense. And it shows the profound limitations of the man as a military leader. He might have been very good, you know, brigade commander. I mean, I'm prepared to accept that. You know, he might have been, you know, very good at that kind of thing. But he has clearly no strategic leadership, no strategic insight. He's afraid to retreat, but he's afraid to advance.
Yeah, but, you know, going back to what we were saying, the point of Mattis and the point of all the military leadership over all the presidencies that we've seen has not been to either retreat or to make a decisive decision. It's been to keep the U.S. bogged down in perpetual proxy wars,
Precisely. It's this extraordinary
perpetual empire.
Absolutely. Exactly. And to what useful purpose for the United States? This is, I mean, it's all part of these great geopolitical strategies that people like, you know, the interviewer, Kilmeade have. I mean, you know, it's all part of their strategies. But ultimately, how does it help people, you know, the people of the United States? What benefit does the United States actually get from this? It just throws away money and it throws away the lives of his young servicemen and women on a war that its leaders are too frightened either to win or to retreat from. It doesn't make any kind of sense. It's illogical. It's stupid. It's not just empire. It's bad empire.
Yeah, but it keeps the military industrial complex.
Well, it keeps them busy. Funded. Exactly. Funded yeah. and busy, and it enables Mattis to come along to Congress and, you know, play his role as the great leader and, you know, and all of that. So, I mean, this is what it does. But Trump, who, as I say, whose background is as a businessman and who is a practical man, I mean, he says to himself, what kind of leadership is this? And that's essentially the point that he was making in this interview. He was saying, this business about, you know, assassinating Assad is a complete diversion from the essential point that Trump was making, that Mattis wants to continue things that he doesn't know and has no real interest in ever ending. He won't advance and he won't retreat. He just stays there so that all these soldiers that are there, all these American soldiers, get shot at, because that's essentially what's been happening.
Yeah. All right. Three questions or comments so we can wrap up the video, Alexander. The first one is, it's interesting how Trump, in his response to Kilmeade, brings up Obama 2-3 times. I think, and I like your comment on this, I think once again, he's trying to contrast how Obama followed the military-industrial complex, stay bogged down in Middle East conflicts kind of mentality, and how he's different. So I think he brought up Obama consistently in his response, which I thought there's a purpose there. That's why he's doing it. My second question is, obviously, inside the White House and with Trump's cabinet and his team, obviously they talk about taking out leaders, world leaders, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, world leaders from everywhere. I'm sure they talk about these things. I'm sure everything is game plan. I'm not saying it in a bad way or a good way. With all presidents, I'm sure they game plan every type of response.
Yes.
So I would like your comments on that. And we know that it wouldn't be the first time that the U.S. has taken out a world leader. What comes to mind for me is videotape of Hillary Clinton saying, "We came, we saw, he died," when she talked about Gaddafi, which was, in essence, the United States assassinating a world leader, in my opinion. Maybe some people may differ, but I thought that's what it was. And I thought Hillary Clinton was on tape bragging about it. We have the video. There's that. So that's two. And the final one, Alexander, you can answer these in any order and let me know if you forget one of these. If you had to tell Brian Kilmeade something about his statement, which really irked me, because he makes it as truth. Is it true that after Assad gassed children for a second time, he states it as fact? That really, really irked me and shows what a putz and what an uneducated idiot when it comes to foreign policy Brian Kilmeade is. So, Alexander, three questions. If you forgot them, let me know. But
no, I haven't forgotten. Can I start with the last one?
Yeah, because absolutely.
That's the one that really annoyed me too, actually. Because again, I said this is disgraceful, manipulative interviewing. I mean, it's intended to achieve certain outcomes, and so is this comment. I mean, you know, he's supposed to be asking questions of the President of the United States, and instead, he's making statements of opinion, because that's only opinion now, and he's dressing them up as facts. We know, because we have all of this information now about the Duma incident, which we've talked about at great length on our videos, that there are, I'm going to say it in a measured way, massive question marks over that. I mean, I'm going to say straightforwardly, I think it was a hoax. I think it was all a complete setup. I think the evidence overwhelmingly shows it, and it overwhelmingly shows that the inspectors who went there from the OPCW think so as well, and that the whole OPCW leadership acted to cover it up. So he comes along, states as fact something which actually isn't a fact. And he does it in a way that is again intended to put the president of the United States in a difficult position and on the spot. I think that's completely wrong. I once remember, I'm old enough to remember, when journalists did not conduct interviews in that way. I mean, that's propaganda, that's manipulation, that's deception, and that's trying to twist the president into doing certain things which the president might not want to do. That's the first thing. I want to say that. The second is this. You talk about, you know, previous history. The United States, like every other great power throughout history, has done all sorts of things. And one of them certainly has been about, you know, eliminating world leaders that it didn't approve of. Examples. Well, where to begin? Let's start with JFK. There was Ngo Dinh Diem, the president of South Vietnam, awkward individual. The Kennedy administration arranges a coup against him. It turns out that it was always planned that Diem would be murdered as a result of that coup. And so he was. The Kennedy brothers, both JFK and Robert Kennedy, well, you know, they green light attempts to assassinate Fidel Castro. And that goes on right through the 60s into the 70s, all sorts of bizarre things like exploding seashells and you name it, all kinds of things of that kind. As you absolutely rightly say, the various attempts in the Middle East to kill various Middle East leaders. I mean, Saddam Hussein, let me make it very clear, was in my opinion, a criminal and a monster. But there's no doubt at all that some of those bombing raids on Baghdad that happened in both of the two wars that the United States waged against him were part of attempts by the US to target him personally. The same thing happened during the Libya conflict. Remember, one of Gaddafi's children was killed in an attack on one of Gaddafi's residences. And we now know in great detail the circumstances of Gaddafi's actual killing. And it is quite clear that various Western intelligence services, including the British and the US, were involved in it at some level and to a great degree. So when Hillary Clinton comes along and says, "We came, we saw, he died," she was basically giving away what the strategy had been all along. So, you know, talking about assassination as if it was something new, and other countries do it also, by the way. I mean, you know, be very clear, this is not the Russians in 1979 arranged the assassination, the murder. They sent their own KGB people and they killed the then president of Afghanistan. That was in 79. So, you know, countries do the great powers do this sort of thing. I happen to think that is completely wrong. But that is not what I think Trump was saying in this interview. He wasn't talking about an attempted assassination of Assad. I think the one person who did try to assassinate Assad, by the way, was almost certainly Barack Obama. And I give two instances where I think this happened. This is some speculation here, but I think this is warranted speculation. In 2012, right at the start of the Syrian war, when there was a massive offensive by the Islamists to try and overthrow the Assad government, there was a big bomb explosion in the Syrian Defense Ministry. Certain very senior Syrian military officials were killed in that bomb explosion. I believe including the Syrian Defense Minister and Chief of Staff. This happened during a conference in which they were all debating, you know, how to respond to this attack. And I think the assumption and belief and expectation of those who planted that bomb was that Bashar al-Assad, the president of Syria, would also be attending that meeting. So I think that was an attempted assassination of Assad himself, which happened to go wrong. I mean, it didn't work. And given the scale of it, I think it is inconceivable that it was done without the involvement of certain powerful intelligence services. And I'm pretty sure that the US intelligence service was one of them. And the Secretary of State at the time was one Hillary Clinton. And of course, Hillary Clinton had just before wrecked a conference in Geneva, which had been attempting to try and broker a peace settlement in Syria. She actually wrecked it. So I suspect that she was expecting that Assad would not survive this attack. This is some reconstruction here, but the fact of the bombing at the Ministry of Defense building in Damascus is indisputable. The other attempt, in my opinion, which again involved Obama, happened a year later in 2013, and it was supposedly in response to the attack, the alleged chemical attack in Ghouta. I think in that instance, by the way, there probably was a chemical attack, but I'm pretty sure the Syrian military weren't involved. But anyway, putting that aside, there was going to be a absolutely massive American military strike in response to it, and quite possibly the declaration of a no-fly zone. And I think it's widely known that the presidential palace, Assad's presidential palace, was going to be targeted. And I'm pretty sure that one of the intentions was to kill or take out Assad himself. What then happened was, as we know, American public opinion opposed it. There was a huge outcry against it and pushback against it in Congress. And the Russians came along and brokered this deal, whereby Syria gave up its chemical weapons, for which some people in the US have never forgiven them. But I think that was the plan. I think that the intention then was, and in fact, I've no doubt about it, to kill Assad also. So those were two attempts that happened during the time when Obama was president to kill Assad. Was Obama directly involved? Did he know about them? In my opinion, of course he did. But always Obama was very clever at covering his tracks. And he seems to have been very successful about doing that in those two cases.
Yeah. Trump kind of calls him out in this.
I don't think Trump has any doubts about this. I mean, Trump, I think, figured out Obama long ago. And he's absolutely right. I mean, you know, Trump may not be, he may not be an intellectual, but he's an insightful man and he knows people. And I think he figured out the kind of person that Obama is, as did many other people also, by the way. I mean, you know, I'm not alone in saying these things. Obama's a much more, sinister person than many people understand, and manipulative person.
I agree with you on that. All right, so we'll end it there. Alexander, this was an excellent video, actually. I think we unpacked it really well. Guys, this video will definitely get demonetized. I'll definitely be wiped off of the searches as well. So share the video, comment on the video, like the video. Get the word out as to what happened with this story, because I think we shed some good light as to this entire interview, Fox and Friends and Trump. Go to the Durant shop, pick up some merchandise, and we'll end it there. You've got a mug, the U.S., I've got the Greek
U.S.
mug.
The U.S. mug, which, you know, Donald Trump stands for. I mean, this is the point. I mean, we come back to this interview. Trump is interested in what is in the interests of the United States. Whose interests does James Mattis ultimately serve? Yeah. Locking into the United States into perpetual wars, which Mattis himself doesn't know how to win. How does that serve the US? Anyway, that's enough of that.
And the most important part is the actions that Trump did not, the Trump administration did not go to war in Syria over four years. That's the most important.
Exactly. Despite the fact that he's been constantly egged on into doing that, which he was again in this interview. So it's a remarkable fact, but it's true. So here we are, mug with the flag of the United States, which is what Donald Trump is defending. You know, I get criticized sometimes for saying that. I think it is indisputably true. Regardless of that, these are our amazing magic mugs, and you can find more of them on our shop. You can find all sorts of great things on our shop, new shirts and things. But remember, as Alex said, this video is probably going to be disapproved of in certain quarters. So you support us by coming to our shop so that we can go on producing videos like this, because where else are you going to get analysis of the kind that we've just given?
Yeah, we'll end it there, guys. Also, donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and subscribe star as well. You'll find all the links to the Durant shop and the donation links as well underneath this video. Alexander Medcurse, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.